from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hour number 2. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will rock with you until 4 right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Let's put a pin in the NBA power rankings, and let's talk about something we haven't discussed much from the Kings' offseason standpoint. Let's talk about some of their injuries. And to do that, we have Dr. Nirav Pandya, professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF. He's the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. And he's one of the hosts of the 6 to 8 Weeks podcast discussing all of the latest in injuries in sports. Dr. P, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very, very well. The big injury news for the Kings this offseason was that their first-round pick, Devin Carter, had shoulder surgery that is going to keep him out at least until January. They said they're going to reevaluate him in 6 months. Can you discuss a little bit or give us some insight a little bit on what kind of surgery he was looking at and what the actual timeline might be there?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the concerns was that he had this kind of chronic shoulder issue even preceding the draft. So there's anytime you have a younger player have shoulder issues, you worry about the labrum. And you kind of worry about the labrum in two ways. One is, like Kevin Herter, you worry about is there a dislocation that causes that labrum to tear? Or is there more of a chronic issue with the labrum where you see with someone who throws a lot or does repetitive activities? That's kind of more a tear more in the superior part of the labrum. And when you hear 6 months, you worry if it's one of these non-dislocation labral tears where it can be a little bit more chronic. You want to make sure that that area heals up properly because you're worried about how that labrum is going to get impacted from repetitive activities. So when you hear about a 6-month recovery process, you get a little bit more worried. Is this a chronic issue? Was there some degeneration there? And you're really trying to make sure that this heals up as opposed to someone who has a dislocation after surgery, they can be back in 4 months.
Dr. P, how do you compare this? Like, because it sounds like Herter is getting, you know, he should be clear and ready to go. So how is it that we have one guy who's like 4 months and another guy who's like 6 to 8 months? And do you think this is something, once it is fixed, that could linger beyond, could it be something that becomes an issue throughout his career?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good news for basketball players, even if it is something that's a little bit more severe or chronic, you typically don't have basketball players whose career end because of shoulder issues. So that's a good sign. So I think kind of long term, it shouldn't be much of an issue. And could there be time missed sometimes, a little bit more soreness? Definitely something to watch. I think when you compare kind of Herter to Carter, the key is that with Herter, with the labral tear, when you dislocate your shoulder, you're just basically asking that labrum to hold stuff in place and make sure that when your shoulder goes farther than it should, it doesn't pop out. Mm-hmm. If Carter has a labral tear where it's a little bit different, that labrum sometimes can attach to your biceps muscle. And you can imagine that if your biceps is constantly pulling on that labrum, it can be a little bit more severe. There's more force going across it. Now, obviously, we don't know exactly what his labral tear was, but that possibly what it could be. So there you're worrying about a labrum that's taking force more frequently than Herter, where that labrum should be fine unless someone takes his arm and puts it in a crazy position. So a much quicker recovery based on where that tear is.
Dr. Nirav Pandya, professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF, joining us now. When we see that the medical staff's going to reevaluate a player after 6 months. What goes into that reevaluation process after a surgery like this?
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with, number one, you have to make sure the area is healed. So sometimes with professional athletes, you're getting another MRI, right, to make sure it's healed. Then you're looking to see what's their strength like, what's their function like, you know, because all that period of time that you're recovering, there's all that period of time you're not gaining basketball strength back. So a lot of it could be, hey, you're healed, let's check you where you are at 6 months, but it's not necessarily safe for you to go back and play, or you're not going to be impactful. So I think a lot of it has to do with, are you healed and can you functionally do what you need to do? And I think that's what a lot of us as fans forget, is that just because someone's been gone for a long period of time and they're healed doesn't necessarily mean they can play at a professional level. And sometimes it takes that additional amount of time to get back. And that's what they're trying to assess at 6 months.
Yeah. We mentioned Kevin Huerter a little bit earlier. Is there any lingering concern there with him going into this year, or should he be good to go?
I think he'll be good to go. I mean, you look at most NBA players who've had surgery for a dislocation, almost 100% return rate, almost no impact on their performance. So barring some sort of weird freak kind of injury, I would not expect at all for him to have any issues moving forward. And that's the track record with NBA players. And we've gotten better with rehab and the kind of the techniques we use. So I think he'll be back performing at the same level.
Dr. P, there's a question that I've had about going out and signing a guy who turns 35 during the season, but who somehow led the league in minutes played last year. Yeah. Do we know enough about just when a player fades and when he doesn't, or like, how do we stack this data? How do we learn from a player like this or a player like LeBron versus even a player like Harrison Barnes, who seemed to fade at 31, 32 last year? It just seems like the science isn't there to predict what we might see from DeMar DeRozan in his 35, 36, 37 year season.
Yeah, I know. I think it's definitely, we have this kind of these unicorn of athletes who are able to kind of play a lot of minutes. I mean, like the Warriors, they signed Buddy Hield, who's barely missed any time, you know, as well too. So there's a subset of athletes who I think a lot of it has to do with their mechanics. Like, you know, we think about like, yeah, sometimes you're lucky you don't get that ACL tear, you don't get that Achilles tear. But I think we're learning more and more about how people move, how they run, how they jump. And we're getting some of this information at the combine that suggests that they're probably mechanically not going to get soft tissue injuries. And then also part of it's luck as well, too, you know, without getting the traumatic stuff along the way. But I think the one part that we don't really talk about a lot is when these people come into the league, how much basketball have they played? How much mileage is already on them? So you take a play, you know, someone like DeRozan, maybe he didn't start playing AAU when he was 7 years of age, or someone like Buddy Hield, who played in the Bahamas, who was in a different, you know, kind of in a different setting. So I think we're kind of missing also, like, what do they do when they're 16, 17, or 18 that allowed their body to kind of hold up? So I think it's a combination of things. It's their mechanics, how much mileage they have on, and then part of it's luck. Like, what system were you playing with, you know, that allowed you to kind of potentially not have those injuries?
Talking with Dr. Nirav Pandya from UCSF Orthopedic Surgery, and he is the director of sports med at Benioff Children's Hospital. Malik Monk sprained his MCL in late March of this year. Is that something that going into the season there should be any concern about, or has there been enough runway that he can be just kind of all full speed ahead, no worry of re-injury or anything?
Yeah, no, I think there's pretty low risk of re-injury with that. As, you know, even if it was like a grade three, like the complete tear of MCLs, you're looking at 3 months for that, and he'd already be past that time point. So Assuming it was just an isolated MCL, I mean, every time, you know, the team could report an MCL, you just want to make sure there wasn't like a bone bruise or some sort of small meniscus injury that wasn't part of it. But if it was just kind of a straightforward MCL injury, wouldn't expect there to be any issues with it. And, you know, the only group of players you really get worried about repeat MCL injuries are football players. You know, with the 49ers, Elijah Mitchell, you know, kind of keep having MCL issues. But in basketball players, once it's healed, especially when they have a long period of time to kind of get back and ramp up, usually not an issue. Where you worry about them is, you know, it's like the playoffs and they injure it week one of the playoffs and they're trying to get back week four. They just don't look the same.
Yeah.
With this kind of a run up, he's going to be good.
Great.
I have a question about sharing of data. Like, I know you're cutting edge there at the hospital and everything else, but do you get, do you have conversations with teams like the Warriors, like the Kings, like the 49ers about how they're tracking data, and can you share like data back and forth, like with the right, like HIPAA without violating HIPAA violations and stuff like that? But have you guys got to the point where you're trying to collect data as like a group to understand the professional athlete and longevity and everything else?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. So a lot of the data in terms of longevity and performance, we're still kind of collecting from public databases. You know, you're getting ESPN. So a lot of the papers we publish have looked at that. There are research committees with, you know, the NFL, the NBA, and they have these great databases, but because there's so much turnover in terms of team physicians and who's kind of owning that data, it's really hard to kind of collect it all together. But I do know teams like the Warriors, team like the 49ers, or, you know, the Kings, like individually, they have great sports science kind of departments, but you're really getting data based on just the players you have. But I do think that next level is going to be, okay, the NBA is going to come together. We're going to share all this data and kind of look at recovery. And, you know, the big conversation was about load management, right? So all the data we've looked at for load management shows that it helps, but then the NBA said, no, it doesn't help, you know? So I think there's a lot that needs to be out there that if you kind of extract out TV contracts and revenue, like what's really the best for these athletes? And I think that's really the next phase. Yeah.
What's best for the athletes and what's best for our show is you, Dr. Pandya. You always do a great job. We appreciate you coming on and talking injuries with us. Hopefully there's not too many injuries to talk about throughout the year, but when they do inevitably happen, you will be our guy. We appreciate it a ton, man. Thank you.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys. Yep.
Dr. Pandya, he is the very best. Again, he is one of the hosts of the 6 to 8 Weeks podcast. Really, really fascinating stuff on that pod with sports injuries, talking about current injuries and just kind of a historical look at what various injuries are. And I like that it is a medical show that makes it easy to digest and take in. And they do a really great job. So subscribe to that podcast wherever you get your pods. Again, that's 6 to 8 weeks. Dr. P, the best. I was happy to hear that
awesome. That
there's no lingering issues for Kevin Huerter or Malik Monk.
Yeah, totally, totally. And also, it sounds that like what he believes is that Devin Carter has more of like a slap tear, which, you know, again, is happens in baseball all the time. It's repetitive use of the shoulder. And so that's why it's just a completely different injury. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a labral tear, it's a completely different injury than Kevin Huerter's.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. We've got Nick Wagner from ESPN coming up at 11:30. We'll talk about this Brandon Ayuk trade business. But before we do that, we got some good idea or bad idea and more looks at the ESPN NBA power rankings. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the insiders. They're Jiffy Lube. They're the sponsor. And this is ESPN 1320. We're Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And we're going to punt good idea or bad idea today.
Oh.
I'd rather talk about the power rankings.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we'll get to it. I don't know. We're free-flowing.
I'm fine. Either way, you go.
If you missed it, ESPN NBA power rankings. Kings 15th overall, 8th in the West. We talked about the Grizzlies being ahead of Sacramento, and that's one where if you were from the future, James, and you came to me and said, hello, I live in 2026, and the Grizzlies were the 3 seed in the West last year. I wouldn't fall over. I wouldn't be, you know, jaw on the floor, but I'd be a little surprised, I think. And I think
I'd be a lot surprised. I think I'd be a lot surprised because, like, they had a run last year with Ja, and they still weren't very good. They like Steven Adams is gone and like Jaren Jackson is kind of capped at a certain point. Like he's plateaued and Marcus Smart missed a bunch of time and I really like some of their pieces, but overall, like you just can't expect a team to turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off and be okay. And hey, let's be honest, like Ja Morant has done nothing to tell you that he's not going to miss more time either due to injury or due to doing something stupid. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in his past that tells you that he's going to play more than 50, 60 games. And like, so sure, he can be phenomenal. He can be great. But even when he started to be that last year, he ripped his shoulder out and done, you know, like before that ankle roll, like all time and time again, he's proven that staying healthy is very, very difficult, and they don't have the depth that they had once before where you got a Tyus Jones stepping in and playing huge minutes and saving the day and keeping them on track while he's out. They just don't have that depth. So I'm intrigued.
This is interesting. So Yeah, I guess, like, I don't know. The explanation boils down to, from Bobby Marks, boils down to Ja Morant's returning healthy. They have Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson. They drafted Zach Edey. They have G.G. Jackson, who played significant minutes. He was our rookie second team. They won 27 games last year. Obviously, they're going to be better this year. And I guess I'm with you. Like, I just don't know. And I don't want to get into the semantics of preseason prognostication, but I don't know when people decide that injuries are going to be a factor and when they're not in their preseason rankings. I get that you don't really want to go, well, the Grizzlies are 25th because we're going to bank on Ja Morant getting hurt. Like, I get why they don't want to do that, but I think I'm in general with you.
Like, yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, hey, I would be really comfortable putting Memphis around number 20 and saying, hey, I know that there are 10 teams that are worse than them, but I don't know what they are. Like, again,
yeah,
like Marcus, sure. Did Marcus Smart and Ja Morant even ever play together?
No. Like, no, they might have.
For they a couple of games? Like, yeah. So,
well,
yeah.
Doesn't Desmond Bane kind of have a back thing?
Yeah, well, Desmond Bane missed a bunch of time, too. But I also think they just gave up on the season.
Sure.
But even saying that, Kyle, we're talking about a team that, you just said it, they won 27 games. And if the Kings are projected to win 45 and a half, 46, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're projecting them to be two spots higher, let's just say 48 wins. That's a 21-game jump in wins. And I get you got some players back and all that, but you don't have other players back. You lost some of these other pieces that made you the number two seed the year before, that made you the team that you were. So I'm a little like, they've got to prove it to me. That's not a team I'm just going to hand a top, 12, 13 spot in power rankings preseason. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Looking at the current DraftKings win totals for the season, the Kings are up to 46.5, tied with the Pacers and the Suns, and the Grizzlies are at 47.5. Interesting.
Okay.
I will say
someone
juice,
is projecting a 20.5 win jump. That's what that is.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I will say the Kings to go under is +100, where the over is -120. Which means they're leaning toward the over on that 46.5.
Okay.
Interesting. The Pelicans are ahead of Sacramento, and I get that again. This is I'm trying to go through, like, the logic of it, because ultimately, like, these don't matter that much. If ESPN decides that the Kings are the worst team in the league and they're going to rank them 30th, like, okay, fine, whatever. But I just want to talk about the Pelicans in general, because I think they went 6-0 against Sacramento last year. And if you think those teams are pretty even, then you're just going to put New Orleans ahead of them because they won 6 of their 6 games against the Kings. So that's fine. I'm not going to begrudge that. What I do want to say is the vibes with New Orleans are terrible. They're so bad. Mm-hmm. It went from, oh, they're going to trade Brandon Ingram because they want a superstar to pair with Zion Williamson. And that turned into a DeJounte Murray addition, which, okay, fine. But now they're like, hey, actually, maybe Brandon Ingram stays. Maybe he'll take less than the max. I don't like that team's build at all. I think the vibes are really bad. I am not in on Zion Williamson yet. Phenomenal player when he's healthy. And I think that's going to kind of be the story of his career. And maybe he's awesome. And maybe he's healthy all year. And he plays 75 games, and maybe New Orleans wins 50. Okay, cool. But there's nothing that's ever happened in the history of Zion Williamson that makes me think that's going to go down. So you have to factor that in. You have to factor in the fact that their other center is Daniel Tice. That was their big offseason acquisition, along with DeJounte Murray, who was like, meh, fine. And then CJ McCollum, which I guess he takes a lesser role now, which is an overall good thing. But Brandon Ingram is, to me, kind of underwhelming and not a player that I'm going, wow, they have Brandon Ingram. They're going to win a ton of games. Herb Jones is great. Trey Murphy is great. Like, I'm all in on those guys for sure. But I feel like the vibes with New Orleans are terrible because they're looking at their roster and going, this isn't what we wanted this to look like. And I think that's going to wind up, I think that's going to fester a little bit. I'm not buying New Orleans. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I don't think I buy New Orleans either. And it's for a couple of reasons. Number one, I just think, again, they did lose things, right? They lost Najee Marshall. They lost Larry Nance. They lost Dyson Daniels. They lost, you know, to be honest, some good defensive pieces along the way, and versatile pieces that they used in different ways. Mm-hmm. And like, they also have this thing hanging over them that, you know, that Brandon Ingram is, if he is there, he's going to be playing for a max money contract. He's going to try to be the max money guy that everyone thinks that he's not right now and are questioning whether or not they want to trade for him because they don't want to pay him $40 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's motivated differently than the rest of the team. And if they want him to like go into a specific like role, hey, we need you to do this. It's like, hey, man, you're literally costing me tens of millions of dollars. I don't think I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And so it really puts an awkward spin on the entire season where you're walking in with already this drama. Mm-hmm. Like the best thing that they could do right now, like I don't care what they're saying about, hey, we would love to have him. He wants to be here. All that. All of that's crap.
Yeah.
The best thing they could do is move off of him right now, because just that drama alone, it could consume their entire season.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, man. Last thing, here's a take I'm probably going to regret. I actually think that the Suns are going to win more games than the Kings this year. More or as many. Because I think the Suns have the pieces to be a really good regular season team. I don't think they're going to win a playoff round. Okay. But I think their playoff exit was so pathetic that there's a stench around the Suns right now. And I think they're getting a little bit underrated from a regular season standpoint. I don't think they're going to go out and suddenly win 40 games. I don't think they're good necessarily as like a contender, but I think they're going to win their share of regular season games.
I'm intrigued by this, Kyle. We're going to have to take this on next week.
Okay.
When I'm back with you, but like
when we can,
we always talk about duos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm back in studio with you, like we always talk about duos, but.
Mm.
At this point, like, where does their trio stack up against the Kings trio? Where does their trio stack up against the Lakers trio? And we, mm-hmm. like, we can kind of break this down a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that you can get 40 minutes a game or 30, 37 minutes a game out of Kevin Durant at his age again.
Sure.
I don't think that Bradley Beal is anything but what we saw last year. Really, really good player that plays 50 games or 45 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then Devin Booker is a player who always misses 8 to 10 games a year at a minimum. And so, yeah, a regular season game, that's fine. A regular season team, that's fine. But they don't have the depth, and they also don't have the flexibility to go out and add anybody if their depth hasn't. It falls short like it did last year.
Yeah.
And so, okay, I can get that they can win more than the Kings, but I can also see them, the Kings winning like 7 games more than them and being a 50-something win team and you know, the Suns being around 45.
Yeah, I think the Kings' ceiling's higher for sure. If everything falls into place for Sacramento, Sacramento could be really, really awesome this year. And I think the Suns are in that like 48 to 50 win range, depending on how many games they get out of Durant and Booker and Beal. But like I said, I don't think they're necessarily like a title contender suddenly. But I think they're getting a little bit underrated because they still have really, really good players on their team.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of looking at that today, and I was like, my knee-jerk reaction, to be totally honest with you, was like, the Suns are ahead of that's kind of nuts. But then you go and you think, it's like, oh, Kevin Durant's still really good. Devin Booker's still really good. Bradley Beal is a tough contract, but like I think teams would take him if money wasn't a factor. But I'm with you. If you told me one of those teams is going to win 55 games, I think it would be the Kings.
But yeah.
In a realistic world, I think the Suns win a game or two more.
Yeah, you're going to get lost in the shiny name game with the Suns. And outside of that, like what else is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of intriguing.
Take I'm probably going to regret, but whatever. All right, final segment coming up here. We got Nick Wagner from ESPN. He's going to talk to us about this Brandon Ayuk trade stuff. Is he actually going to get moved this offseason? We'll talk about it next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Damian Barling, D'Lo, and Casey coming up next as well. We got the handoff coming up in about 20 minutes. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Theater.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm, microphone being on helps. James Hamm there. Yeah, you know. James Hamm there. I'm sure there's some people who are like, no, keep it off. James Hamm there, Kyle Madsen here. And on the phone with us, he covers the 49ers for ESPN. We're going to see about some receivers. It's Nick Wagner. Nick, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, my gosh, that's terrifying. So you're a little bit distorted right now. I'm hoping that's going to fix itself. Can we try that one more time? Nick, how's it going?
I'm hopefully less distorted. How does that sound?
No, it's getting better. It's getting better. So I'm just gonna talk. I'm going to ask you a question. We're just going to work through this because that's how a radio show goes when you're trying to do it with two people.
He clearly was in witness protection there. You were like on the dark screen on our TV, like with the distorted voice. Go ahead.
All right. So, Nick, Brandon Ayuk officially requested a trade yesterday. I guess we'll start here. Do you think he gets traded?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that the most likely outcome here is that he re-signs with the 49ers. This has just kind of been the song and dance that we've seen from this whole offseason. And I understand why Brandon Ayuk wanted to get paid sooner than later, particularly when he looks around the league and sees receiver after receiver getting big money deals. And I also understand why 49ers fans would be frustrated that the 49ers have dragged their feet on this, because the price for Ayuk has ostensibly gone up because of those other deals around the league. But at the end of the day, this is still how the 49ers do business. We've seen this so many times. And I think if the Niners were inclined to trade Brandon Ayuk, they would have already made a far more concerted effort to do it way back in the spring. And I'm not even talking about before the draft. I'm talking about before free agency, like they did with DeForest Buckner. And so if people want to point to Buckner as the one star that they didn't keep over the years – they kind of showed you and tipped their hand on when they're ready to move on from a guy, or when the price has gone too high, and when they can't make something happen, or they don't think they can make something happen, how they operate. And then with guys that they do want to keep around and that they have committed to, they do this. They do not grant trade requests. We saw that with Deebo Samuel. We saw with Robbie Gould. I think Raheem Mostert at one point, I believe, requested a trade. So the 49ers have a track record of getting these things done, and I still think at the end of the day, Ayuk, this was kind of the last piece of leverage he had, the last like nuclear option, for lack of a better term, that he could press. But still, this is not necessarily up to him. This is up to the 49ers. The 49ers still want to keep him. Everyone I talked to yesterday said that their stance hasn't changed at all. And so I still think at the end of the day, this is probably going to get done. It's just a matter of when.
Nick, why do they conduct business like this? Because it seems to be one of the most frustrating things I've ever seen. And it's not, you know, eventually they get the deals done. I get it. But if anyone thinks that Bosa was right all of last season coming off of his holdout, they're wrong. I mean, that guy didn't look right until late in the season. And like missing all of these mandatories and these like the training camp and everything, it does matter at the end of the day. But it seems like this is the way that they conduct business.
Yeah, I think the reason I get why it's frustrating, because, you know, shoot, as someone covering the team, I'd like to have it done too. I'd like to not have to come and have these conversations every year, right? At this time of yeah. year, and write about it ad nausea, right? So I think part of it is literally just a financial thing. I think that's part of this, where Jed York wants to spread out when big payments are going to be made and when he has to put money. Because when you guarantee money in a contract in the NFL, that money has to go into an escrow account right away. And so mm-hmm. I think there are some elements to that people don't necessarily aren't aware of, and nor should they be, right? Like it's like an accounting thing, and accounting is boring, at least for those of us in sports that don't like math. So I think that's a part of it. But I also think the 49ers, in a lot of ways, they like to have a little bit more certainty with other things going on in their roster. Like, hey, we know that things are playing out a certain way, and we can do this move, and then we can put this one off until the next one or whatever. So I don't disagree with you, James. I think there's certainly reason to be frustrated, particularly in this case where it's very obvious that the price changed because it took so long. But it's worked for them so far. If they have to pay a little bit more money on the back end, I think that's something they're willing to do. I think the other thing is Parag Marate has been the primary negotiator for this team for a long time, working out these contracts. And in his mind, the way he tries to make things go is he's going to negotiate very hard every last dollar. And they, you know, there are certain concessions he doesn't like making. There are certain concessions that he's had to make, though, in recent years. And I think that the worm is turning a little bit in terms of the way some of these deals are going down.
Nick Wagner covers the 49ers for ESPN. I saw a projected contract today from, I believe, Spotrac, that said Ayuk's deal would be somewhere in the range of $26 million. A year with like 68 guaranteed or something. Is that where you think this winds up landing?
I think if that was going to be the number, I think the deal would be done already. I think that's what the 49ers would have liked to have paid. I think that's probably what they could have paid back when Devontae Smith signed. I think he was the first domino, if my memory serves correctly, among the receivers that signed this offseason. I think Devontae Smith was the first one. I think what's happening here too is there's like these magic numbers that these guys want to hit, and sometimes they're not realistic numbers. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, let's use him as an example, because I think that's probably going to be the closest comp when this is all said and done for Ayuk, whether that's with the 49ers or elsewhere. You know, on paper, that's a $30 million a year contract, but there's some fluff on the back end of that in non-guaranteed years, where it's really closer to, you know, $27.5, $28 million a year. And I think that's probably where Brandon Ayuk envisions himself landing, is somewhere in that range. And so, it may turn out that when he signs a deal, it looks like $30 million plus a year on paper, but it's not really that. And so I think that's probably more likely to see something in the $27.5, $28 million a year range. I think there was probably a time where they could have got him for that deal that you just mentioned, but I think that time has passed because you've seen five or six other receivers surpass that number or at least meet it.
We're talking to Nick Wagner from ESPN, who covers the San Francisco 49ers. Nick, let's just say this doesn't work. let's just say that the, you know, they can't figure out a way to get him under contract, and they're also reluctant to play the whole, you know, sitting out game. What is he worth? What exactly at this point in the offseason do you think they can get for Ayuk, and how difficult is it to trade him with, you know, the fact that you have all these big numbers hiding that, you know, like dead money and all that stuff when it comes to trading players in the NFL?
Yeah, I think the big thing here is that the 49ers, I don't know that they view a scenario. I don't know if there is a scenario, I should say, in which they would trade him now or even in September, because this is still, at the end of the day, a team that is trying to win a Super Bowl now, this year. And making themselves worse by trading their best wide receiver is not something that they're going to do unless there was a rare instance where they were able to get an impact player in return. And as you guys know, those types of deals just don't happen that often in the NFL. Yeah. And if they do, they certainly don't happen at this time of year. So I think the more realistic scenario, if you're talking about a potential, like, you know, what is the most pie in the sky but possible option where Brandon Ayuk gets traded before the end of the 2024 season, it probably looks something like he held out for a long time, he didn't get a deal, he came back, he wasn't necessarily what they wanted to be, and they started off really poorly. They're 3-7 or something at the trade deadline. I don't know exactly what the trade deadline is, but they're like 3-7, and then they decide to make that deal. But the other part of that too, James, is, you know, everyone says, well, the Niners can't just, you know, they're just going to hold him hostage. They're just going to have a disgruntled wide receiver on their roster all year. And it's like, sure, but at the same time, what is a disgruntled receiver who's not performing? What's the going rate for that guy if he does become a free agent or if they do decide to trade him next year? Right. Like, he still has incentive to try to earn that money, right? So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, there is still the best path for both sides is to stay together. And I still think there's even a world where he plays on the fifth-year option this year. They can't work something out. And then after the season, they re-sign him then, because at that point, they then make the decision on, you know, the Deebo Samuels, or if they move on from Javon Hart. You know, there's big money contracts that they could move off of in the offseason, because I still think when you look at this, everyone says, well, the Niners can't afford all these big superstars, right? And there's truth in that, particularly once they pay the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that just because the guy that's closest to free agency is the one that they're having trouble signing is going to be gone. It just means that they have to choose and pick and choose which superstars they want to keep around. And everything I've been told for the last year and a half is that Brandon Ayuk is one of those guys that they want to be a foundational player for this team for the long term. And so until something changes that dynamic, I'm not sure there is a trade or something that the Niners would be willing to do that really makes sense.
Talking with Nick Wagner from ESPN. So one of the things that got all this Ayuk trade stuff kicked off was the NFL draft, where the 49ers used their first round pick, number 31 overall, on wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. We got word yesterday, at least most of us did, I don't know if you heard, that Ricky Pearsall was placed on the non-football injury list. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation, because back in the spring, Ricky Pearsall was wearing a blue no-contact jersey during OTAs and the minicamp. And when we asked Kyle Shanahan about it, of course, the 49ers don't have to put out an injury report until week one of the season. Kyle Shanahan, I think he referred to it as some general soreness or something like that. Like, he's just dealing with some soreness. So the indication would seem to be that that's more of a soft tissue type of thing, maybe. I don't know exactly what the injury is, and no one over there is coughing that up. But the fact that he's on the active version of the non-football injury list means that he can be activated at any time. So it may just be as simple as, hey, they're getting him in here over the next week while it's just the rookies. He kind of reacclimates, and then he's ready to go when camp starts. My indication from people I've talked to is that it's nothing serious that is expected to keep him out a long period of time. So even if he's not on the practice field on day one next week, it won't be long after before he is.
Nick, we've seen some of the, you know, the talking heads out there with ranking quarterbacks this week. Do you buy Brock Purdy outside the top 10 as an NFL quarterback?
Oh, man, I really, Kyle can tell you, I really hate these conversations.
I do too.
So let's have it, baby.
No offense to you at all, Dan. It's just, I think there's so many factors that play into it where, People talk about systems, and every quarterback is in a system, right? So every quarterback is theoretically a system quarterback. It's how does the system marry to what that quarterback's talents are. Brock Purdy just happens to be in a really good spot where the system specifically is tailored to him in a way that makes a lot of sense for what his skill set is, and vice versa. And so if you ask me, I think probably somewhere in the 8 to 12 range. I think that would be about right. But if he's the first honorable mention outside of the top 10, I don't have any qualms with that, you know. And I think the other part of it is I remember talking to Kurt Warner last year for a story I did on Brock Purdy in the playoffs. And he said, you know, the big thing with Brock is, just like with any quarterback, to really prove that you're a top 10 guy or a top 5 guy or whatever, you have to do it over a long period of time. And it is still, even now, Brock Purdy's start to his career has been outstanding, but it's still very early in his career. He doesn't even have two seasons worth of starts yet. And so I think that's the other thing here that maybe gets underrated a little bit is just like, hey, let's see him do it. You know, if I look at a list and I see a Jared Goff, for example, ranked above him, I would probably be inclined to disagree with that. But I also can understand the argument of, well, Jared Goff's been doing this for, you know, 8 years or whatever versus Brock Purdy for not even 2 years. So I think that plays into that conversation as well. But at the end of the day, it is a conversation that Brock Purdy and his agent are very interested in because, you know, he is going to be in line for a large payday next year if indeed he can follow up on what he did last year with a similar or even better performance.
Nick Wagner, you can read him and watch him on ESPN. Dude, you do a great job. We really appreciate your time on this July 17th. Hopefully this BA stuff gets done sooner rather than later so we can start looking ahead to training camp. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you, Nick. Nick Wagner, one of the very best. We appreciate him immensely for hopping on with us. Yeah, man, and James, I'm with you. And Nick even said it there. If they had just done this Brandon Ayuk stuff early in the offseason, they could have had him for 26 a year, and all of a sudden we'd be looking and going, wow, what a bargain. Oh, they got Ayuk at a heck of a deal as everybody else gets 28 and 30.
Well, my problem with that, too, is that it's been clear the whole time that Ayuk wants to be here.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like it's wholesome, you know? Like, he wants to be part of this. This is who he thinks of himself as an NFL player, and like, it's almost like you're doing this in like a mean-spirited way for somebody who, you know, to maybe beat them up and get a little bit of a discount. And I never understand that. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you have to pay everybody the max. But I also think that there are players who, you know, when the market is what the market is, and the 49ers are to blame about where the market went as much as anyone else, that they held out and made this like about the money down the road. And so, yeah, interesting stuff. I also thought the impound account thing is really interesting to think about, and how you have to take all that guaranteed money and stuff it into a bank account.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bit sketch. Yeah. So I can get why the 49ers might want to wait a little while before they put all that money. You know, maybe they got some NFL checks coming in at a certain date.
It's time for the handoff, Damian Barling.
Who
in
knew
the
49ers were living paycheck to paycheck like
crazy,
everybody.
Crazy. Who wild. Among
like
us?
Like everybody,
you know?
Else.
Is that a soccer jersey?
It is. Yeah, it's a soccer thing that Nike and Off-White did a couple years ago.
Mm. Nice, man.
Yeah,
I like it a lot.
It's large, so I don't wear it a ton.
Sure,
but that's kind of Off-White's thing. So
yeah.
The kids wear really baggy clothes these days, so I figure, all right, yeah. I'll throw this on.
Trying to give it to you.
But I'm a big soccer guy, so.
Oh, of course. Yeah, everybody knows it.
I even got the...
Trying to be part of the Utes.
Little,
oh, the keeper.
You should be wearing keeper gloves, too. Just go all out with it.
Yeah, no, I think they were available, and I just didn't get them. They had shorts and everything. And again, I didn't get them. I dropped the ball.
With the full kit. D'Lo and Casey coming up at noon.
Hopefully.
So fingers crossed.
Yep.
I'm going to sit right there, by the way.
Thank you.
Just in case.
Thank you.
I'm trying to get...
We're down a man. James is in Cabo. Charlie's walking around with a cane. Like, ESPN 1320 is just falling apart at the seams.
Well, this is the one... I'm going to a concert tonight in Oakland, which is why I can't stick around for the whole show.
What's the concert? Oh, boy. Okay.
No. It's ATEEZ.
The what?
ATEEZ.
Okay.
It's a K-pop group.
Oh, I figured. Yeah. I figured. Well, I mean, it's Oakland. It could have been Missy Elliott. It could have been Nicki
point.
Minaj. It could have been anything.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, I'm going
no,
to see
this checks out. This checks out. Yeah. And it's fine.
I'm really excited about it.
No, you should be. That's your bag. That's your bag. I told you. I sent Kyle a text that I saw some. What was the group?
BTS.
They showed like a side by side of their the way that they move is in the influences that they have that come from Michael Jackson, and it's like, oh, okay. I think I'm a little. I dig this. Mm-hmm. Like I appreciate this.
And I sent you "Standing Next to You" by Jungkook, who's a member of BTS.
Right, the one with you Usher. Did, yeah. That, and that was fire. Yeah. Yeah, that was hot. And then you sent me the fashion choice of somebody else,
Felix from
like,
Stray Kids.
That's pretty dope. I like it. There's a lot of things about this group I like.
Felix is not part of BTS, but yeah, same.
Is BTS like the NWO?
Well,
you don't get that reference, do you?
No, BTS is like NWA.
Oh, well, I've seen BTS, and I don't think they're anything like NWA. That's fine.
No, they're just a group. It's a group. It's like a band.
Okay.
More got, Stray no, Kids you. That Felix is in, the Louis Vuitton ambassador.
Yeah.
Different band.
James, what's NWA stand for?
Nope.
No, I'm not saying.
National Wrestling Alliance.
Hang on. My internet is cutting out here in Cabo. Yeah,
I love that James is in 4K in Cabo. Like, that's my favorite part about Cabo Ham is, like, he's in 4K out there.
Yeah. No, of course.
It's trying to cut out all the time, though. It's a little bit of a struggle. I don't have as good a Wi-Fi at this resort as I did at the previous resort. Sweat, so no? It's all right.
When you go resort hopping like James Ham does, it's a little different.
Do you know what? Do you know what? James can't upload the podcast today after the show, which is fine. It's an easy thing. I'm gonna sit right there and I'm gonna do that after the show. Do you know why?
Well, no.
He's resort hopping today.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm sick of this room.
Oh.
I'm going to a different one.
Oh.
Oh no no.
It must be
no.
Nice.
Today I'm going to a mansion here in Cabo.
Yeah. Why?
We're
gonna
spend the next 4 days there. Today, but my checkout time's at noon, and they're like, "Get out now!" Yeah, so
James
sorry about
going
that.
This, rushing out at 11:56.
Yeah, I've said this before. Like you and Kenny always joke, like, "Oh, you got it like that." Oh, da da da. James does.
No, James really does. No, that's what I always. That's the joke. Like I always joke about the Caraway compound with
course,
the security
yeah,
and
yeah.
the. No, that's actually. I didn't know this at first. That's actually James's house.
Yeah, literally.
No,
that's how it goes. Got
me,
boats,
Kenny. It's
boats,
all. Yeah,
multiple.
It's all jokes with me and Kenny. With James, right. No, it's real.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
real life.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Where? Oh, go ahead, James. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, because we only got a couple minutes here. I want to try and do this. I'm going to bring this back. It's Danny in San Francisco, just in the back of my head right now. The Memphis Grizzlies in the ESPN preseason power rankings, post-free agency power rankings, are ahead of the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't decide how to feel about that.
So
I'm going to draft off your opinion. Whatever you think, I'm going to also think.
Yeah. One, don't... I mean... Don't put anything. Don't put any stock into that. Like I don't think there's any.
Sure, sure, sure.
I think that's a lot of pressure on Ja Morant.
Yeah, let me frame it this way because I don't want to act like I said the Kings could be ranked 30th and it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But are you buying the Grizzlies as a contender in the West this year?
A contender? God, no, 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 no. As a playoff contender, playing contender, I'm not there yet because again, I feel like this is putting a lot of pressure on Ja Morant. Ja was extraordinary when he returned. Like mm-hmm. it was a terrific reminder. Like, yeah, y'all might have forgot. Like, I'm that dude, and mm-hmm. he is. And getting injured, and I honestly thought, you don't wish injury upon anybody, but given the circumstances of the season that Ja Morant had, I think it was good for everybody. Like, okay, this is it's a clean break. Memphis is going to stink. Start fresh next year. You don't have the weight of this suspension. You don't have the weight of all this other stuff. You can start fresh. But don't, like, forget, like, Memphis has gone through, like, a complete overhaul. There are a lot of guys. It's great that Ja's coming back. James, there's a lot of guys that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so to say that this team is a contender or say that this team is better than Sacramento or to say that this team could be a top six team, a top 18, we're talking about plus 20 wins at this point. Is Ja worth plus 20 wins by himself? Man, that's really tough for me. I don't I'm not there yet with Memphis. I get everyone's intrigue and excitement for them, especially because of what we saw in that limited amount of time with Ja last year. But nah, I can't co-sign that.
No, I'm with you.
I can't.
That's what I said.
I think I'm there, but because of Jaren Jackson. I'm out on Jaren Jackson Jr.
Oh, what'd he do to you?
Did you watch him in the FIBA World Championships?
No.
Out there grabbing a rebound a game? No. Bro, average dude is the defensive player of the year.
But if
and averaged go ahead.
But if Memphis's scorekeepers were keeping track, he grabbed 8 rebounds a game.
He averaged the same amount of 3-point attempts as rebounds last year.
Mm.
That's
tough.
I'm out, that's dude. Tough. I'm out. What do you guys are coming up?
Well, I just hope we're on the air. That's honestly my mission.
We got
today
you. That's easy
to
work.
Make sure that we're
that's
on the air.
Work.
Otherwise, we're just gonna vibe, man. We talk like it's we our plan is to talk Kings. Our plan. I was like, hey, right out the gate, let's mention this Brandon Ayuk thing. Let's talk about that. That wound up going for 90 minutes. So we never got to some of the other King stuff we were going to talk about. We had some NBA things we want to talk about. We saw some USA stuff today. So we'll talk basketball, man. We'll have some fun for sure for the next 4 hours.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. James, take the rest of the week off. We appreciate your hard work down in Cabo. Go enjoy that vacation. A happy anniversary to you and the missus as well. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 with who? TBD on ESPN 1320. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Boop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.